just right now between what we do at the firm of attorneys and where it ties in with the gospel. These are always questions for us, but I think that you can have as many ideas on this as I do. What I thought that I would do for a couple days here is go through a problem situation with you, much the same way that I, as an attorney, would have to go through it when a client comes in to my office, to see if maybe we can't get the feel of it together, and also if you can tell me what your feelings are about it. Because you know, when you end up going into court, it's all very interesting what the lawyers do. That's interesting. It's kind of interesting what the judges do. But what is really important is what people such as yourselves, who make up the jury, do and think. Because you're the people that end up telling the lawyers whether or not you think that all the stuff they've been talking about is important or not. And there's no reason why, except for the age, maybe on a couple people here, why any of you would not be on a jury. Probably, well, are you all homeowners or are you all voters, registered voters? Okay, the limitation in Oregon anyway on being on a jury duty is that you have to be a registered voter. And we often find juries made up of, with an average age, quite a bit higher than the average age of the population. So what I'd like to do for a while is just work through with you a case that came in here recently. And I'm not going to, it doesn't have an ending to it yet because I haven't tried it. Now, next year I may have to come back and give a sequel to this as being one of the famous cases I have lost series. For every one of these books, you know, that people write on the great cases, there's one. There's some other guy down the road that can put that same case in a book, only he has a little bit different ending to it. So let's talk about an area that comes up in, I guess we could call it reputation, or well, reputation is as good a name as any, because it deals with a person's ability to carry on and maintain his own livelihood, and how that can be interfered with by other people interfering with what the members of his community think of him. But the particular one I have here isn't as clear-cut as, say that someone in Seattle took out a billboard and said on the billboard, "Governor Evans is a pinko communist red homo." Well, now, most people would think that'd be libelous. And that might go well beyond the fair comment that a person can make about a political figure. Let's take it down very closely to where one makes his living, and that's on his job. Now, I have a client by the name of Ray Carman. Ray Carman is not a governor of the state, doesn't have a great political office. In fact, all he is a grocery clerk, just a grocery clerk. Now, he's been a grocery clerk for about 7 years. And he always was able to get a job in a union scale, $3.40 an hour, whatever it was. He had dental benefits, he had health benefits. And for him, it was the kind of life that he liked to lead. He was satisfied in living that life. And he had worked for several stores in California for a period of time, and then gone up to the Oregon area, and had begun working in some retail stores there. Now, of course, we all know how important it is for any retail store to carry on security among their own people, don't we? Does anybody argue with the fact that a store has a right to make sure that their employees are honest? Any disagreement with that at all? No. So they have a right to see that they're honest, don't they? And so if they have a right to see that they're honest, they have a right to get people to check on the honesty of people that go into the store or that work and handle the money at the store. And there's nothing wrong with that, is there? Now that's perfectly legitimate and perfectly reasonable. Well, and if they have a right to do it, they can hire people and people can set up the right kind of a procedure to make sure that this is done properly and correctly, to make sure that when you, as a customer, go through the cash or through the front counter, that you're treated properly, with respect, and that the company gets all the money coming in. So that's okay, isn't it? So there's nothing wrong there.
Well, over here we have, I'm going to use the abbreviation, a company by the name of Commercial Service Systems.
Commercial Service Systems is in just that kind of a job. They're an internal private security company. They're a company that will run spot checks on various employees. They'll do it by they'll do it in various ways to see if the employer is honest. Now, of course, you remember that since Commercial Service System is a business, what is the main function of their business? What's the main function of their business? What's to make a profit? It's the main function of any business, isn't it? That is to make a profit. And so how do you make a profit? You make a profit by, first of all, getting customers, don't you? And then doing the work for those customers in a efficient way that is a good job, and so you get paid for it. Okay. Now, this particular company here, by the way, does anybody work for Commercial Service Systems? Anybody here work for any security agency? Anybody here a retail clerk? You're a retail clerk?
No.
Not you. You were a retail clerk. In what kind of a store? All right. One of the things I could always do, in selecting the jury is ask the juror questions about their background. Has anybody been on jury duty in here? You've been on, oh my word, this is going to be fun. You've been on jury duty. When you are on jury duty, did you ever go through a voir dire type of examination before the trial, in which the lawyers would ask you certain questions about your background and what your prejudices were? All right. And did you ever hear any a juror say that they were prejudiced? You did. Did you ever have a discussion in a jury room after the case was completed? And did you ever find out then that maybe some jurors were prejudiced but hadn't raised their hand and say, yes, I am? Did that ever happen? It didn't. All right. Well, good. Okay. We have professional jurors here now that'll be able to help us in putting this thing out. All right. Commercial Service Systems is a large company. They handle some major firms, like they've handled Safeway stores, large retail chain, handled Mayfair, handled Albertson, and many other large stores. They distribute to all their customers a book, and the booklet is entitled Failure to Record. Now, failure to record, as I'm sure the lady over there that's been a retail clerk knows, means that this is taking in money as a retail clerk and not counting it on the tape. Is that right? Okay. And they've put out a book that says that they're going to catch people that fail to record these sums, and they're going to go through a system of professional people, and they're going to put them in the type of a situation that is normal in the operation of a business. And if they fail to record, they're going to test them again. You're not supposed to warn them, because if you warn them, that is in effect giving them a license to steal. And if they catch them again, then they'll bring them in, talk to them about it, ask for an explanation, and if they can't explain it, they'll recommend to them that that person be fired. Okay? Are you familiar with that, the failure to record system?
No.
All right. Now that's all right, isn't it, to set up something like that, to check on your own people. It's all right for Albertsons or Safeway to set that up. A procedure where if the fellow isn't doing a job right, he can be management to know about it and take an action to discharge him. Well, Ray Carmen, after about 7 years of being in the retail clerk's business through various stores, went to work for a company called Mayfair in Eugene, Oregon. And he had been with them for about 2 months, and actually maybe about 2 or 3 months, and he quit. He just quit. Nothing was ever said to him about any of his performance. He had, because of the rush of business, he had visited a training school maybe a week or two before he terminated. He terminated because of the hours and the kind of conditions that were in that particular store. And he immediately went to work for another store called Big C Markets, also in Eugene. And he was doing fine there. He was happy in his job. And about 2 weeks later, the manager came up, the fine man, said, "Ray, sorry, we're going to have to let you go. The person that was off because of an injury creating the opening that allowed you to be hired is now well. And he's going to come back and take his job, and you're going to have to go." And Ray said, "Well, okay, you know, let's break to the game." And so he went out, and within about 2 days, he found another job at Albertsons, which is pretty good because he had a wife and a kid, and they were renting a home and, you know, not making a great clear living. So he went to work for Albertsons for about 3 weeks. And the manager called him in and said, "Ray, you know, I'm sorry, I have to do it, but I'm going to have to let you go. I'm not supposed to tell you why, but I'm going to tell you why." He said, "The Merchant Service System has run a check on you, and they tell our people that when you were working at Mayfair and when you were working at Big C, that you failed to record." And he said, "I think it's a rotten thing. I think you had a good job here, but I'm going to have to let you go." So Ray's a little shocked at this, and so he goes back and he drops by to see the people over at Big C. And he says, "Say, what's the deal? That I've got a report and I lost my job. Because you say, or because Commercial Services has been said, that I failed to report a sale here." And the manager over at Big C said, "Gee, I don't know anything about anything here, but I will tell you that we did get a report that you were over, that you did fail to record sales over at Mayfair." I said, "It really was true about the guy coming back to work, but I would have had to let you go anyway." So Ray says, wow. He says, I want to run this down. And so he goes back to Nathan, the place where he had allegedly committed this act. And he goes up to the manager and says, Bill, what's the deal? He said, I've lost two jobs because I was supposed to have failed to record my sales while I was working for you. He said, Ray, I don't know a thing about it. He said, I thought you were a pretty good worker. We had our differences about hours and schedule, but I don't know a thing about any charge that you failed to record over here. As far as I'm concerned, you're a good worker, and you come back to us. Well, Ray is a member of a local union. Now, I know the feeling of a lot of people about local unions here, but that's just part of our story, so we're going to have to go in. We go to see the business agent. So the business agent calls up the manager of the store. or the manager of the whole Mayfair operation. And they say, no, we don't know a thing about it. So then they begin digging and pulling. And sure enough, there's a guy that used to work for Mayfair that saw the or heard about the report coming in. So what does Ray do now, first of all? Well, there's always the old saying that if you go by the street and a car throws mud up on you by going by, it's kind of better to wait for the mud to dry. You can kind of brush it off and try to scrape it off right then. So maybe you just kind of let the thing go and you just go on and try and get in the line. Because if you're in an area where people are calling you a thief, why broadcast the news if people are calling you a thief? So Ray, he's hurt. He tries to go out and get another job. Now, what's one of the things that everybody will ask you when you're looking for a new job? What's the first thing they ask?
Where do you work before?
Where do you work before? Now, after they ask that, what is the next question?
Why did you leave?
Why did you leave? Okay. Now, what are the two responses that Ray can give?
I'm fired.
Okay. That's one. And if he says, I was fired, what does he have to say? He said, well, why were you fired? Because commercial service system sent in a report back. I failed to report that. His other alternative is, of course, he can lie. Okay? And hope that no one else finds out. Okay, now what happens if he lies on that new job and they end up finding out? Then the next job he goes, he said, well, why were you fired from your last job? Well, I was fired from my last job because I lied to them about why I was fired from the job before that. And so for 7 months, Ray Carlin goes from employer to employer. He tries the police department, he tries the sheriff's office, he tries every retail store in town. They asked him why he left the last job. And so he doesn't lie. And he tells them the truth. He tried mills. He tried to work in the green. And so this man has been steadily employed for 7 years. He's now without a job. And he's been told why by his employer, but no one will tell him about what the underlying facts are. Okay, now, since Ray Carmen continues to let the mud dry on his
close before the clinic could get to that. You think 7 months is about long enough to be unemployed? And of course, you know, I don't have to go into the story now, but what happens to a man, a family, when he goes around knocking on doors for 7 months without income? Of course, he goes on welfare during that period of time. Welfare takes money. How many of you have ever gone out and looked for jobs? Is there any job tougher in this whole world than looking for a job? What does it do to you when you're looking for a job if someone tells you no? You wonder what? Well, if you wonder why, you must come up with some other, not just wonder, you know, it's not a wonder in the sense that what do you think it'd do to a person to be turned down 7 or 8 times a day? Well, after 7 or 8 months, Ray Carmen, whatever it was right now, picked up his bag, borrowed whatever money he could, and moved back to California, and found another job, and went back to work. You know, finally went back to one of his former employers, and finally got a job. Now, there's nothing wrong with living in California, of course. A recent survey they took with the 29% of the people who live in California want to get out of California and come north to Oregon or Washington. But there's still nothing wrong with living in California if you want to live there. So now we have a problem, don't we? We have a problem with, we've got an individual there. And he has the right to be able to go out and be employed, doesn't he? And he has the right, if he has an employment, not to have someone else take that employment away from him without a good reason. Now, we also have commercial services. And now they have a right to do a reported job, though. They have a right. So we do have a couple of things going head on into each other here, don't we? Where's the balancing point? Yes.
It would seem to me that they would have to be, would have to inform the person reason to make such an accusation.
Okay. Well, let's take the first one.
Yeah, Mason.
Now that was a store, remember, where he was working, where they supposedly with a check on him. They did check. We found out that they did check. Now, was there anything wrong, basically, with them telling Mayfair? And I'm not asking for any legal type of argument. Now I'm just asking, you know, for your gut reaction. That's what juries end up giving verdicts on anyway. If you've got reaction, they don't listen to all that other stuff. But so I want to know what your gut reaction is.
Well, if they had a deal with him directly at that point.
Okay, in their little booklet that they pull out, where I said that they told the man they were going to bring him in, and they're going to talk to him about it, and confront him with the facts. He wasn't confronted with the facts until we took the deposition of commercial service system a long time after. But even at that, I would think that if Mayfair hired commercial service system to check on what went on in their own plant, on their own shop, they checked,
Ray Carmen had already left at that time. You know, what's the harm? You know, what is there any great harm at that point? That they were running their own security, they had got information that satisfied them. Ray Carmen had already left, there was no need for a confrontation. Or is there any great problem there? I don't think. So I think we should have all lived with that one. They're doing their own.
And the next one I want to look for is Big C.
Commercial service system, without being asked, called up the manager or the personnel director of Big C and said, "Hey, we understand that you hired a guy by the name of Ray Carmen. We ran a check on him. And you know how that check came out? I think you better watch out for Ray Carmen." Well, now in the retail industry, under their collective bargaining agreement, there's a 30-day period in which they can fire without just cause. In other words, they don't have to verbalize the reason for firing. You know, in many types of labor organizations or contracts, if they're going to fire a person, they have to have a good reason for it, don't they? And they have to tell the person, and if it's not a good reason, you have a chance to go through a series of grievances.
But they call up.
They said, "Hey,
now, what was the purpose
and what was the privilege here in balancing this out in Big C? Is there any motive that commercial service systems could have had other than profit? And that is that they want to establish their own self-image as being an efficient, thorough, investigating service towards their clients that will, of course, make them more valuable. Because, see, there are a lot of agencies out here that are doing the same thing. You know, they're not the only one that's business. So they've got to look good. So I'm asking the question, what other reason is there for them to do it other than to look good to their clients? Tell me, because if I don't see it, my opponent is trying to file me, tell me, I'd rather have you do it here. I can correct any mistake I make here because, you know, I don't get any burden from you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to argue very strongly they had no business doing that.
Because also, according to their booklet, they said they were going to prove the allegation beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, these are terms that you've become familiar with, you know, well, to some degree. But you were a juror. Did you have any criminal cases? What type of cases did you have?
Well, I was a on the jury, but the only one I actually served on was a civil case for a question of condemning property and being the right value for it.
Actually, the burden of proof on that type of a thing, well, it's still the same thing. What burden of proof did the plaintiff have in that type of a case?
What burden of proof did the
plaintiff, the fellow that was bringing the suit and asking one way?
Well, he had to establish that the damage to his property was much greater than the state had been willing to set for him.
Okay. Beyond a reasonable doubt?
Yeah.
No. It's by a preponderance of the evidence. And there are a couple different degrees of law. Now, if before you put a person in jail, if you can visualize these scales, it's always good to talk about it this way. I'm not so sure it always works this way. But it's beyond a reasonable doubt where the burden is great upon the state. But if one person is suing another in a civil action, you only have to tilt, as a matter of proof, a balance a little bit in his favor.
as far as evidence is concerned, in order to recover.
Okay.
Well, first of all, is there anyone that thinks the problem that what they were saying was that Ray Carmen embezzled money when he said they took money, they failed? Well, I didn't explain what failure to record was, probably as well as I should. In the retail trade, failure to record is when money is put down on the counter, it's supposed to be, according to every company rule, immediately deposited in the cash register. And there's a tape in the cash register, of course, and it's supposed to be recorded immediately on that tape. Now, that's a good rule. Of course, in a retail store, have you ever seen it when people are in line and someone runs up in front of the line and throws down a dime or a quarter or 40 cents? You know, here's mine, and they run off, and here are other people standing in line. Now, I've seen it because I get mad when I'm standing in line every time I see somebody do it. But just see it regularly done. All right. So right then, the person running the cash register has a choice. He can say to all those people in line, "Excuse me, please." And then he takes care of that client, runs it up to make sure this money checks out. Or they have another procedure that they call bunching, which isn't a right procedure against all the rules, but they'll take all the small change that comes in and then they'll record it at a later time. Well, the way that the investigation went with commercial service systems is that they hire what they count are typical people that are shopping. Now, these are normally young people that they pay about $2.50 an hour to run through, to have someone standing up in line and have someone run in front, throw down some money during a crowded situation, and walk out, and then check to see whether or not that shows up on the page later on, you know, whether or not there's bunching or whatever. How many of you, if you're working at a cash register, can remember 10 months later whether or not a particular day someone had run up and thrown some money down in front of you? That is going to be the allegation that Ray Carmen is going to have to stand up and defend against the criminal trial. That's still a trial. Because, of course, one of the defenses for a libel action or one of the defenses for a interference with a contract action is truth, isn't it? Truth. So we're going to be confronted with the fact that these kids are going to come up and say, "Yeah, I stood in that line, and bang, I put that money on that table, and I didn't see Ray doing anything with it." And what does Ray say 10 months later, or a year later when he gets the talk? About the only thing that I'm going to be able to say to people such as yourselves who are jurors is, Ray tells me he didn't steal. He's been in the business for 7 months, and there's no way that he can remember that. But according to their own rule, it's their burden to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt, and proving this type of a charge beyond a reasonable doubt demands that they confront him immediately with the charge. And I don't know what else to say. If anybody else has any ideas between now and the time they leave, tell me, because I'll use it. But that's the problem we have. Okay, so we go back here. And then we go back and we talk to Alice. A little bit different situation there. Albert said, call commercial services, and he said, "Hey, we got a new guy here. Name of Ray Carmen. Do you have anything on it?" Do you have a black book on Ray's time?
And of course they said yes.
And so the word comes down far.
That's when our sympathetic manager of the Albertson store in Eugene threw the whole thing up for everybody because he tells Ray Carmen why he's being canned. Now that's not playing by the rules. That doesn't complete system. The blackball system doesn't work if you're going to tell people they're being blackballed. Because they get angry and they get uptight and they try and defend on the facts. Now the only way you can have a blackball system work effectively if it can work in silence. You know, they put the box by and you get one marble and one's white and one's black, and so you can, without being named, drop that black ball in the box. So that manager, well, it served him right because he was going to be our witness and he had a heart attack and died. So there we are.
So here are three major retail corporations. You have a security agency
working as it affects them. We just have one man over there, Ray Carmen, who got through high school, barely. He's been a retail clerk, and he's pretty good at packing out groceries. He's not a regular cash register man. He only does it part of the time. And he can mark food. He can have a home. He can have a family. He's trying to screw up that whole work and just raise all sorts of fusses. Now, what's it worth to Ray Carmen? He's gone for 7 months looking for a job. What's it worth to have had a job without it being taken away because of it? I suppose we could talk about what happened to him at his home, you know, between him and his wife. But I think you can kind of imagine what happens in a normal family situation under minor stress of anyone. And what happens when now this person goes through the continual rejection. Because of course, we're suing for money. And we're asking for damages for them. And we're asking for the damages for the loss of wages. We're going to ask for damages because of what this did to this person's inside. And we're going to ask for punitive damages. And punitive damage means that the action was done maliciously, which means also that it was done recklessly and with an improper motive, and profit is an improper motive in this sense. And we're going to ask for punitive damages because we want the jury to tell commercial organizations not to do that anymore as a punishment for this act and to discourage that type of conduct. Okay. Now, I would like to hear from you. Well, this is shorter than... We've gone through it quicker than I was taking pictures of the jury. A lot quicker than pictures of the jury, and quicker than making an open statement. But I'm kind of throwing it out to you, and I'd like to have your reaction. I think it's like, as a lawyer like anyone else, you can get all caught up in the righteousness of your own cause, and go, looking for that windmill, and every windmill is a dragon. There's a little bit of Coyote, I guess, in every trial lawyer, and I'm sure there isn't me. So if I'm overlooking something, if you think, holy cow, that guy doesn't deserve to have any damage for that, tell me now.
and I'll know where my work goes. But the juror, what's your reaction?
Well, initially I'm all with you, unless I haven't heard the other side at all.
The other side is going to say that he stole.
No, the other side will first of all say that it was a violation of a company policy.
And that they didn't mean the word to imply stealing at all.
And that's why no one else is hired.
That's still the only side, I guess, because they expected honesty out of him, but I don't think they were honest with him when he didn't, well, in this case, directly with him, making him after the decisions were made at that time, not waiting 10 months.
What if you felt that, if you weren't sure whether or not Ray Carman failed to record the sale or not, mm-hmm. What if you felt that? There are records for, they'll be able to produce records for the day that show that money was put in, and then there's going to be a long line of figures on the tape, and the number that the girl will say that she put there were not recorded. Now, whether or not there were a bunch or not later on, I don't know. He doesn't know. He doesn't know.
Can you say that, you know, he regularly would do the bunching that same day, the end of the day, a day later, a week, and...
Well, he has to get out the turn and take care of the tape later in the day.
It's not a question of whether it was delivered. I mean, even if he was careless, there was no need to pour risk for his employee.
Sure. Now, the difference there between the risk as an employee he made there, or the risk of an employee that Albert comes and does too. Okay, but that's... This is the kind of response that I'd like to get. We will explore that with them.
Okay.
We will explore their experience and their ability to observe with them. We'll do that.
I think it would be legitimate to have a record of performance on a person, but I don't think it's fair to blackball them in this respect. It seems to me I've seen where they test out people in grocery stores to run the cash register, and they run a whole basket up, and they run through, and they know exactly what's in the basket, and see how close they do it. Well, now, if someone is just applying for the job, and they run this basket through, and they don't get the right answer, then you'd be just as justified to blackball them for the rest of their life, even though they've never even been employed, because they fail to come up with an accurate tally. Now, that doesn't seem like that would be fair.
Are you saying it's the difference between making a mistake and being a thief?
Well, I mean, I think it would be fair to have a record of a guy's performance. Did he perform well, or you could even check out your employees periodically, and maybe you think they're getting old and senile. Are they still able to run a thing through accurately? And sort of an examination, you don't have to always come out right, but you get a batting average that's either acceptable or unacceptable.
Okay.
This whole thing, we understand, came from one person saying that they put down 40 cents to 50 cents in a break period, one time, and it's causing this man to be blackballed.
There were two separate checks on each time. There was a person that did it and one observer. There were two times. There was an observer. They'll be able to come in and say, yeah, that's what happened.
during a rest period.
Yep.
Never during a normal.
No. No, well, they you see, they say that a rest period is a normal period in retail sales.
When would be different?
Well, I suppose the busier they are and the more confused you can get the guy at the cash register, the more likely you are to get scores, aren't you? Seems to me that if you're running a security agency, you never caught anybody, it'd be pretty tough to keep on selling your service, wouldn't it?
Jerry, what I don't understand is the man who was his boss at this company had told him that he knew nothing about it.
Maker, right.
Yeah.
He lied.
Oh, he lied.
Oh, yeah. I've got him lying on the record. We'll chat with him about that.
The man still wasn't fired, though. He did quit.
Yeah. See, because what had happened here is that between the time of the check,
let's say that was August 1 and August 15th. I don't know if it was right, but whatever.
He was laid off, not fired.
Oh, for Mayfair, he quit.
Yeah.
He just quit voluntarily. He didn't like the hours, you know, on the weekends and that. He just quit, you know, a little later on. And went to work immediately for Big C. I'll say about 2 weeks after that, before they got around to doing anything. And of course, the manager up here knew about it the whole time. And the manager that told Mr. Carmen that he didn't know anything about it had also called up the manager at Big C and called up the manager at Albert's and he said that, yeah, that had happened.
So the
manager
was never really accused?
No.
By the people from whom he was together.
No one ever accused him. They all walked around and said, Ray, you're a great guy. We love you. Just go out and start there.
Yeah. He was faithfully, though. I'm having a theory that Ray received pretty savvy treatment. But still, you have to sue for money damages.
That's right.
And they might then say, well, the money's dried and comes back. They go to California and get a little job back and so on. And he's not entitled to fantasy. What
I think I can get an instruction that if they've been from the court, that if they did interfere with his contract and he has suffered mental pain or anguish, these are the words we banter around for saying a guy's been ripped inside out, he will be entitled to damage.
I'm sure he's probably have to come back up to your friends to this country. Was it because the principal of this was so great that you used to come to history?
Well, yeah, the union brought it in because it's a common problem in the retail system. And the thing that clerks hate worse than anything, you know. They don't mind the check, but I suppose it's how you feel about being called a thief. They feel that there should be some due process in their own livelihood, as there would be if they were charged with speeding going down the street, as I suppose you would want to have if you were charged with speeding or going to a stop sign. You'd feel pretty strange, wouldn't you, if after you returned home, that a Washington State Patrol would come up and could say, we just received word that when you're turning onto the highway after the cutoff to Chelan, that you went through that stop sign. The what stop sign? Well, you know that one 300 miles back there. Well, this is a problem we have. The only way that we can recompense a person for it is with money damage. And of course, I would have to begin working with the jury early in Bourdieu and in Opening Statement with the concept of the fact that in our society you pay people for throwing passes that other people catch to touchdowns. You pay people for putting a ball through a hoop. You pay people for taking care of the groceries as you come through. And so this is the only way that we have of getting any measure to the damage they have. We pay people to take away things, don't we? We pay people to take away things. And now, is there any way that we can compensate? And we run headlong into a problem here, I think, with the, you know, in our religious studies. We run headlong into a problem. And maybe some people can raise that problem with me as well and verbalize, but it's the game that I'm in. You know, I sue people, and I mainly sue them for money. Or my clients do. I'm simply in there helping out.
Is it
the
store plus, like, why
do you,
is this college?
Not the, no,
there
not the store.
There'd have to be some religious stuff there, he wouldn't bother. In other words, he was maybe aggravated for the lesson.
Well?
No, this is common among people who employ that caliber of worker that it is such an enormous amount that it is lost by retail stores through this kind of dishonesty, and it's quite troubling, that they do this to sort of help each other out. The other guy will do it for you next time.
Nothing wrong with running a check, is there? That's legitimate. If you do have an employee who's been dishonest, as James said, not every person that's hired by a business is honest. There are a lot of dishonest people. And so it's all right to check on you. What we're saying is this. Ray Carmen have the right to be confronted and accused of his misdeeds. If you're not going to confront him and give him an opportunity of answering, you have no right to go on and for profit continue to prevent him from getting work. Now, we talk about a convict, don't we? What's the first thing we try and do with a person convicted of a crime? We try and put him back to work. If they had charged Ray Carmen with a crime and he had been convicted, the first thing everybody in the world would have been doing would be trying to get him onto another job. And the very act here prevented him from work. You know, what if it had been 40 cents and he'd have stolen it? It's been a misdemeanor, maximum fine $1,000 a year in jail on conviction. And from that time on, everybody's all gone. And here, what's the maximum sentence?
Life.
Life. I've used it my whole time, and I almost
I have one question. Yeah. I have to ask, though. In industry, of course, it's different than retail. But the union demands that a person be recommended first. Any
of
discharge
that. Not for dishonesty. You can, well, at least in our the unions that we're around, if a guy is stolen,
you have to prove it then.
You've got to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt, right? Is that fair? Well, no, I don't, that's okay to have a 30-day rule. But what should that 30-day rule be based upon? Should it be based upon someone else else coming in for a profit and blackballing a guy? Or should it be based upon his performance? You know, that's a couple for that pretty good. That's right. Libels and reputation is a funny one. Where, if you've ever had a chance to read that Louis Niger's book, My Life in Court, there's a very interesting thing in there about Quentin Reynolds and Westwood Pegwood. And the extreme power of destruction that when a person in a position of power wants to focus in on another person, what can be done? Of course, Quentin Reynolds was a powerful person in his own right. And at least he had the media and support and censure. But anyway, that's a different story. And if this is fun, I'll go through kind of fun for me to be able to verbalize these things while I'm up there. And I'll give you a few others during the course of a week that I'm in the process of working on. And then I'll be able to report to you next year. And
your batting average.
My batting average, yeah.
Wouldn't that 7 years of previous employment count for anything?
Well, we hope so, and we'll bring in a few of his former employers to give their opinion of Mr. Carmen and his honesty. Because if it's a criminal offense, character is always a matter and issue.
Commercial services at old concern, or are they?
Oh, they're in about four or five states. I think they're 15, 20 years old. They're not the kind of people that advertise on TV, of course, now, are they? Let us tell you how we're going to catch your friendly employee who's a thief.
They actually go under the name of TSS.
Yeah.
Because I know another firm entirely different to the TSS, and I thought that maybe it's good.
Oh, wow. Why don't we stretch, and then we'll let a real professional work with you for a period of time. And I'm going to see if I can get my 3-year-old at the Holden Lake without too many tears.
Give us a report on that.